Good morning, everyone. We want to welcome you in Jesus' name this morning. There's quite a few people here this morning that don't normally attend church here, and we welcome you all here. I've never heard a message exactly preached on this text this morning. Maybe, I'm sure it's been. I've heard the phrase often enough, but I never heard a message on this. And I've titled the message, Things Too Wonderful. Things Too Wonderful. When Noah, this isn't the text here, but when Noah went into the ark, God sent all the animals in the ark. What kind of animals did he have to send in the ark so that they didn't all get extinct? Kyle? Almost all. Well, yeah, almost all of them. Two of each. So if he took two daddy tigers, do you think that'd be okay? That'd be okay? No? It says they had to have a male and a female. They had to have two kinds, two of each, but they had a mom and a dad tiger. And then they could have babies, and then there would be more tigers going on after the flood was over. And in Genesis 2, at the very end of Genesis 2, God put Adam to sleep. Just knocked him out and put him to sleep. And he opened up his side, pulled out one of his bones, pulled out a rib. How many of you men would like to go without a rib? Some of you young men, if you provided a wife, you might like that. No, actually, that's what Adam did. But he didn't make another Adam. God made Eve. And Eve, God made Eve to be a help that was suitable for Adam. The Bible says a help meet for him, and we say help meet, but it's not what it says. It says a help that was suitable for Adam. And he made woman. And all of us, at one time or another, have thought about things too wonderful. We've thought about the process of getting a spouse. We've thought about the process of courtship, of getting, of fulfilling God's plan in marriage. The text that I'd like for you to turn to is in Proverbs 30. There's two verses there. In Proverbs 30, and all of us, like I said earlier, all of us have thought about this, at least those of us that are, I'm going to say 18 and older, and probably a lot younger than that. But in Proverbs 30, verse 18, it says, "There be three things which are too wonderful for me." And two is spelled exceeding, the double O. "They're too wonderful for me. Yea, four which I know not. The way of an eagle in the air. The way of a serpent upon a rock. The way of a ship in the midst of the sea. And the way of a man with a maid." What is one thing that's in common with all four of those things? Okay, can't see the way they work. Anything else?
There's a stronger force there than the thing itself.
Okay, stronger force than the thing itself. That's true. But one thing that stood out to me, so the way of an eagle in the air, you have air travel. The way of a snake on a rock, you have land travel. in the way of the ship in the sea. You have sea travel. And all that, and the way of a man with a mate, I'm going to call it life travel. Because you have, it's the way things move. And all four of them are laws of nature. And God put them in there. God made a ship float. God made the principle of air being lighter than water. And you have a ship that has air in it, and it floats. And he made the wings of the eagle, how the feathers, when it comes up, the feathers open up and it can come up. And then when it goes down, they close and it just it can move. And then you have the snake on a rock. How does a snake move? A snake is just muscle. I mean, it's got bone, but it's flexible. And how does a snake move? As it slides this way, it puts force, and it moves, and slides the other way, and it goes, and it's amazing. But God made these principles of life. Now, the way of a man with a maid, I don't know how to explain that. That's just, that is a very interesting law that God put in nature. And if you watch turkeys, that's an interesting thing. You watch turkeys sometime. And you have, and turkeys aren't even pretty, but they sure think they are. And you have these hens sitting out here, and these big toms come out, and they strut, you know, and they got the beard sticking out their chest, and they strut this way, and gobble. And the hens, you know, they gobble some more, and the hens, they come running up there, and gobble. It's not so different from men sometimes. But they... That's what God made them. The tail fanning and whatever they do, that's attractive. And these hens come running up there. Or that's the idea. There's few things more interesting in life than observing the attraction between males and females, between the sexes. It's something that we all have an interest in. Especially young people are tuned into this subject. Or at least I was. Maybe it's different now, but I sure was when I was younger. And things are... When we love to hear other people's stories, and we love to hear other how it works and other people's experiences, but when things get personal to me, I was extremely self-conscious in discussing my own feelings. And that's fine. That's good. If we all went around just talking about it, it would be a little strange. But these feelings are God-given, and they're not to be ashamed of. God has given us all the desire to love and be loved. All of us have that desire. And we all want to be special and appreciated. We all want to be cared for and to care for someone. And we all have a desire to belong and to matter. All of us have that desire. That's ingrained in us. And God knew all this when He created us. And yet, and a lot of times when we think that is always found in marriage, and it's not. It's not always found in marriage. And marriage is not the end, an end in itself. Our culture has placed pressure on people to find a partner. Our culture, I mean, that, and in church maybe, and maybe that's more, I'm not sure how it all is in the world today, but in our church it seems to have, we have placed pressure on that, on becoming married or being married, and it's easy for us to make thoughtless comments that can hurt, deeply hurt, those that have not been able to be married. And it's something that we need to keep in mind. Marriage should not be forced on anyone. It's a voluntary commitment between two people. And it shouldn't be forced on anyone. You know, they say that marriage can be one of the most beautiful things on earth. It can also be one of the most terrible things on earth. So it needs to be a voluntary thing. And marriage is not an end in itself. Having a partner, a life partner, does not magically fix needs. I heard one man say one time that he got married and he thought that having a wife would magically fix all his problems. And he said, I found out real quick that didn't happen. And he said, if he lays on the bed facing east and his wife lays on the bed facing west, they have a real problem. And he said, it's something. He said, just having a wife or having a husband doesn't magically fix needs. Character flaws before marriage are still there after a marriage. If not corrected, they just become worse because they affect more people. And it's tremendously important to have a godly foundation to build a marriage on. It's tremendously important to have a godly foundation to build a marriage on. As a young man, I wanted to get married pretty bad. And I'm sure that's not so different from anybody else. But I don't think I analyzed things very well. I just wanted to get married. And I have a good wife, a very good wife. But we need to prepare for marriage really, really far before we start. If you think about it, a marriage is made up of two people. And when we As we look out and we think of an ideal marriage, we as young people we're idealistic, or we can be. We're idealistic, and we think of marriage as being, well, we have all of our ideals of how it should be. We have plans, and it's going to be peaceful, and there's going to be love, and there's going to be dreams that we can fulfill together, and we can have children, and we can have all kinds of things. We have an ideal here. But half of this marriage partnership, I'm going to call it a partnership in this context, is made up of me. If this is my marriage, it's made up of me. And who can change the character of half of the marriage before we get married? Me. Or who can set the tone? And how do we get this? How do we get from dream to reality? Sometimes there's that disconnect between an ideal and reality. How do we get there? I didn't think of all those things when I was young, which I should have. And there's been bumps along the way. And a lot of them have been my fault because I'm I just didn't think too far. But young men and young ladies, and even us older ones that are married already, this is going to apply to us as well. But the ones of us that are not married, and even the ones that have made commitments already, you can work at setting your character and building your character now. Before you even know who you're going to get married to, or before you even know what your life is going to be like, you can set your character now. You can work on that anyway. And young man, we all have a desire to have a wife, a home, and children. And this desire, God gave it to us. And it's intense at times. And it's easy for our preferences to get in the way. We try to make things happen on our own. You know, for a lot of us, we exercise our pursuit of happiness, which is our constitutional right, you could say. We try to exercise the pursuit of happiness, but the pursuit of happiness is a dream. That is a dream. The realization of happiness is more of a commitment, and it takes work. Pursuing it is kind of fun, but realizing it on an ongoing basis is more of a commitment. It's easy for our preferences to get in the way. And what I mean by that, we can make a list of ideals. And I don't know, a lot of us, we want a pretty wife, right? A really pretty wife. Well, I'm going to say, and I'm talking in general terms here. God has blessed every one of us with beauty that is can be given from within. We put too much emphasis on outward beauty. But outward beauty can change. If outward beauty with a ugly character, you forget about the beauty real fast. But they say that still waters run deep. And someone with a beautiful character is beautiful. So don't forget that when you make your list of ideals or when you think of what you are looking for in a wife or in a husband. Character is what makes the beauty. Godly character is what makes the beauty. You've heard the saying, choose your love and love your choice. When you're looking, the whole world's open. I mean, not the whole world, but I mean, you can choose. But once you find a person to love and you make that commitment, then there is no more choice. I mean, other than choosing the one you've chosen. So, taking the characters, or not letting our preference get in the way, the purpose of courtship is not to be taken lightly. It needs to be done with purpose. And with the ideals, we need to look for character first, and some of our other ideals we need to be flexible on. Relationships are not cut and dried. They're growing. It's a growing process. So we look for character, but before we do that, we need to prepare our own character. Prepare yourself to be the person God wants you to be. Young men, and even parents, raising young men. Character comes in a lot of different forms. But one major form of character, if we don't get this right, it creates a lot of problems, is self-control. And self-control is hard to learn. But it's harder to learn the older we get if we haven't learned it earlier. Self-control can be a simple thing. An exercise of self-control can be a simple thing, such as just getting up when the alarm clock rings. It can be setting a goal for yourself and meeting the goal. It can be denying something that we like. Food, for example. One of our children loves dessert. And dessert, for them to do without dessert, could be a form of self-control if they do that on their own. Another thing, I think Mr. Bryan was responsible for this, but some of these youngsters had a candy fast that they did for a year. And that took a form of self-control. That was good. I appreciate that. Positive peer pressure there. But it took a form of self-control to do that, to go for a whole year without drinking any pop or eating candy. But it was a character-building exercise in these young people. But without self-control, there it opens us up to a tremendous amount of problems. From overeating to compulsive spending, impulse buying, to moral problems, to no spine. It opens us up to a terrible lot of problems. And I say that, I have, by God's help, I have self-control in some areas, and in some areas, well, you see how I look. I should do more self-control in how much food I eat. Absolutely. But as we look to see a marriage partner, we can see better in our list of ideals for them that self-control is a good thing for them to have. But how is it for me? They're going to be looking at me, and they're going to want self-control in their partner. Patience is another one. And young men, if you can think you have patience, but when you have children, you might have to reevaluate some of your thoughts. Patience is a virtue, and a virtue simply means a moral excellence, and it is moral excellence. But God has a way of honing that down. God still has a long way to hone on me, unfortunately. But you can work at that now. Patience. Cheerfulness is another one. Who likes to be around grouchy people? And especially if you're going to live with them for 60 years, you want to have somebody that's happy, not sad or grouchy. But cheerfulness, and you can't always be cheerful, not always. But cheerfulness a person that is grateful, a person that is, a person that's grateful tends to be more cheerful than someone who's always negative. Develop convictions is another one that we can do. And this is something that 12-year-olds can do, 13-year-olds. Develop convictions. And developing convictions, it can be done many ways. But one is to dig in and study God's Word. That's hard work. Digging in and studying God's Word is hard work. But if we can cultivate that when we're young, we can cultivate it any time. It's just easier to do when we're young, and we can set our habits easier. So that's why I'm encouraging you, young, you really young ones, you young Christians, the ones in instruction class here, that's something you can do. Open your Bible and do a study on self-control. Do that sometime. It's called temperance in the Bible, by the way. So you could do that sometime. Write it out. Write out what the Bible says. Write out some of your thoughts, what you learn, that kind of thing. You can do that. But that's a character-building method to help develop convictions. You can do it for anything. There's a lot of things in the Bible. Develop and maintain a close personal walk with God. And that's something that you can't really just make a habit when you're young and call it good. Like we heard in the devotional this morning, that close personal walk with God is kind of like eating. You can't eat one meal when you're 16 and call it good for the rest of your life. It won't work. You have to eat every day. Or nearly every day. I mean, for us, it's more comfortable for us to eat every day, actually three times a day, to eat. But to develop a close personal walk with God, we need to eat from His Word. And we need to make it real and make it a part of our life. And prayer life is something that goes along with that. And that's something that is easy to fall asleep on. We can fall asleep so easily in our prayer life, figuratively speaking. But when is the last time that God has tested your faith and driven you to your knees where you have had to cry out to God and ask for His help and His direction and His, or asks, thank God. That's part of prayer as well, thankfulness. That's something that we can all do. But I'm thinking in the context of ideals and what we look for in other people, we need to first practice in ourselves. Exercise the gifts that you have. You all have gifts. Every one of us has gifts. Some of you are good at helping other people. Some of you are good at encouragement. Some of you are good at having devotions, whatever, speaking. Some are good with your hands. Some are good with speaking. Some are good with helping. It's just every one of us has a gift, and we need to develop these gifts. Try to be a person that you would like other people to be. Try to be the kind of person that you like to be around. Be a person who looks for the good in situations. I think I already alluded to this. Some of my notes, I'm getting backwards here a little bit. But in looking for a wife, look for character. Still waters run deep. And external beauty does not equal internal character. Character is not flashy, but it endures. Character is actually what makes true beauty, or what makes beauty. Don't compromise on character. I make a difference between when between character and preference. I mean, we can make a list, and when we go to order something, we can make a list of what we want. But relationships are not cut and dry like ordering something. You can't order a wife. It just won't work. You have to, first of all, be the kind of person that you need to be. And then, as the relationship grows, grow into it. You'll need to compromise your preferences. And actually, your preferences will change as you get to know the one that you are courting. Preferences tend to change and to grow with the personality of the person that you're, if everything progresses. Make sure you don't confuse preferences with character. Pray and seek God's will. Seeking God's will is important. And for me, I was in a, I don't know if I was in a hurry, but I wanted a wife. And so I prayed, I prayed, and God, he didn't really answer. And so I thought, well, I prayed some more. Yeah, I'm getting a good feeling here. So the good feeling equates to God's will. So God is giving me this good feeling, so now I know that I should move ahead. So I went and moved ahead. And this good feeling lasted all the way up until this relationship got nipped right off. Well, then God must not have been speaking after all. But how do we know? How do we know what God's will is? Very seldom is God going to say, yes, this is what you need to do. No, this is not what you need to do before it actually happens. There's channels to go through. It's good to ask parental permission. It's good to, if you don't know them, it's good to ask the ministry for advice. But God still speaks, I'm going to say, in a progressive way. Many times we need to step out in faith. We just trust God to reveal his will as we go along. And sometimes it takes a burning. It takes a burning. And many times it works. But God reveals his way in a progressive way. Reveals his will in a progressive way. But if the door is closed on a prospective relationship, that doesn't mean that you are doomed now for the rest of your life. It just simply means that it wasn't God's will for you to start that relationship. And you can try again at another time. Courtship is not casual, but it's not necessarily permanent either. What I mean by that, when we start a relationship, we're doing it with a goal in mind. Marriage down the road. But if it doesn't work out, time can heal that as well. Sometimes life deals some really hard knocks in relationships. We don't know what God is trying to tell us always. But relationships can be, well, they're a lot of work. They can be very rewarding, but they can be a lot of work too. And it takes commitment to make it work. We won't always feel in love. We're not always going to feel like we are on cloud nine. And because of that, we can try to force ourselves to feel on cloud nine. And I think I've seen this, a constant stream of communication during courtship doesn't really give us time to evaluate and think. It's good for couples to take time to evaluate, to analyze objectively, and by analyzing objectively, try to think in terms of how this translates into several years down the road, how it's going to be later on, how it's going to, if there's any question, character questions, try to think them through. Preference questions, there's some things that are preferences that are not character flaws. They might be little things that you can work through. But major things like anger problems or lack of self-control or things like that should put some flags that we need to discuss and work through. But give ourselves time to evaluate and analyze. But we also need to actively build relationships. Don't give ourselves too much time that everything dies out either. There's a balance there. But it's good. It's good to take some time. When we were dating, we did a long distance courtship because I was in Oregon and my wife to be was here, girlfriend at the time. And we did a very unconventional system of we would text, I think, twice a week, I think, was what we could do. We could text twice a week. But the problem was is that she didn't have a cell phone, so we had to text through somebody else's phone, which was not an ideal situation. But it worked. And the thought was, or the thought for the twice a week thing, we could write letters as often as we wanted to, and we did quite a few. But the thing was, the thought was to give time to analyze and evaluate in between, not just constantly on the phone, constantly talking back and forth. It gives some time to let your head clear out a little bit, maybe. But actively build a relationship. The other side is to actively build it, let things progress. There are times when we need to just move ahead and ask the question and progress with prayer and progress with joy and continue to court even after the I do is said. That's a beautiful thing. Continue to do that. That's the way of a man with a maid. The desire for a wife is a natural God-given desire. But to you young ladies here, I'm going to switch it around. The way of a maid with a man. You know, that desire to have a husband and your own children and your own home is a real desire as well. And it's a powerful and intense desire. And waiting can be hard. And for you, some questions that can come up. You know, maybe you have feelings for a specific person and you can't do anything about it. What can be done? You know, one temptation is to try to signal those desires and to signal your thoughts for someone. Like I said, still waters run deep, and it can be counterproductive. Can be. But what can we do? You know, a successful marriage is built on the foundation, like we already said. It's a partnership. We can build our character, and we can pray. And a commitment to Christ is key. A commitment to Christ is key in building this foundation. And an acceptance that Christ can meet my needs, our needs. Personal convictions of self-control, some of those same character qualities are things we can work with. Acceptance of God's will. All of us, acceptance of God's will for our life is something that we all can use. It's also known as submission. And that word submission has a lot of connotations, but I'm just going to share this. Submission is something that we think of as that's a wife's duty, is submission. But submission is something that we all need. Because of the headship order that we have, as leaders in our home, we have submission. We have to submit as well. We have a different, maybe a little different role to fill, but acceptance of God's will for our life in the circumstances that we find ourselves in, and willing to do whatever God asks of us, is submission. And it applies to the ladies, it applies to the men. And embrace a close prayer life, or a close walk with God, and develop a prayer life, a close prayer life. Embrace God-given femininity. That's something that God has given as just be the lady that God wants you to be. Develop an idea of essential character traits in a husband. And for this, I'm sure you can have essential and you can have preferences. Maybe you should make two lists, just like they should. But essential character traits are something that you do not want to compromise on. There are things character can shine. A bad character can create untold amount of grief. Later down the road, you have children. And if there's questions or character flaws that were obvious before the marriage, if they're not taken care of, it can create a tremendous heartache down the road. Preferences adapt. You can adapt to the preferences. Character, not so much. Just some general thoughts. Sometimes a desire, and this is for both here, a desire for a specific person can become so intense that it clouds our judgment and short circuits our character development. And sometimes this happens when you have a crush on someone from really young all the way up. Sometimes that can cloud your character development. And actually, it can be overcome by God's grace, but it can be better to not develop those relationships until the time is right. But the way of a man with a maid, the way of a maid with a man, that's a principle that God has given us. And it's something that we can use for His honor and His glory. And it's something that as long as the world stands, is relevant. So let's stand for prayer. And God bless each one of you where you find yourself, whether you've been married for a long time, or you're looking to be married, or you are not married. Let's pray.